lies, cover-ups, corruption. You think you know the whole story? Think again. I've been governor, a Navy SEAL, a fighter. I've heard things that'll blow your mind. And now I think it's time you get the whole story.
Now, the top secret government project that can destroy the world.
One of the most dangerous projects the United States government has ever attempted.
There it is.
When aimed at the sky, it can change the weather.
With a billion watts, you could easily move a cloud wherever you wanted to move it using HAARP.
When aimed at the ground, it can set off earthquakes and tsunamis.
My father's hope was that this type of technology would be doing more good and not doing any harm. And they're saying now we have a weapon.
When it's pointed at you, it can literally blow your mind.
This is the death ray.
Jesse Ventura and his team head north to Alaska. Take a wild ride to the Arctic tundra.
We're out here in the wilderlands of Alaska.
And confront the ultimate conspiracy weapon.
This is more than classic.
HAARP, the real-life doomsday machine.
Hold on a second, guys. I got a problem here. Have to power up right there.
I'm Jesse Ventura, and this is Conspiracy Theory.
Jesse Ventura is at the gates to what could be the most dangerous weapon the world has ever seen. And they won't let him in.
So you're telling me if I got rid of the cameras, you'd take me inside?
I'm saying there's no chance that would happen.
Weeks of investigation have led the governor and his team to remote Alaska, to this place where the U.S. military is blasting the skies with millions of watts of energy. A place with the innocent name of HAARP.
Back up a little bit from here.
When I get denied something, I get angry. It was a confrontation I didn't expect as a former governor. And it all began when I got a call from a guy named Jerry Smith. He told me the government was about to fire up some kind of futuristic weapon. We met at an out-of-the-way tavern in St. Paul. He looked like an insurance agent, but there was nothing mild-mannered about what he had to say.
Jerry Smith is an author. He writes about the military's desire to harness the weather and use it as a weapon of mass destruction.
What I have for you is one of the most dangerous projects the United States government has ever attempted that's going on live in our atmosphere, and the general public are still blissfully unaware of it.
HAARP, High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program.
It is a field of antennas on the ground in southeastern Alaska, so linked together as to work as one giant antenna. It's 360 antennas. Each can generate 10,000 watts, 3.6 million watts collectively. The largest legal AM radio station in the U.S. is only 50,000 watts. But they're not broadcasting out. They're broadcasting up.
When HAARP is fired up, all those antennas shoot powerful radio waves into the ionosphere, the uppermost part of the atmosphere. They literally heat it. They create irregularities that allow the ionosphere to bounce powerful radio signals back to Earth. Officially, it's only in the research stage. Officially.
To what purpose do they say they're doing that for?
So they can communicate with deeply submerged submarines. And they could use this to locate, monitor enemy underground bases with the manufacture and launch of weapons of mass destruction.
Big oil companies developed the HAARP technology. But when the U.S. government realized its wider potential, it bought up all the plans. By the time work began in 1993, HAARP was in the hands of the military. Jerry Smith says those hands turned the tool into a weapon.
The HARP array seems to be based on a set of patents for a ground-based Star Wars weapon system. Now, it may be good to have Ronald Reagan and Shield.
Destroy incoming missiles and things of that nature if they're fired at us.
Exactly. This same set of patents also describes how it could be used to manipulate the weather over North America.
Missile defense and weather control. Jerry Smith says that's only the tip of the iceberg in Alaska, because the extra low frequency waves that HARP generates can also drill much deeper than the ocean. Deep into your brain.
That ELF that allows them to see deep in the earth and communicate with deeply submerged submarines is at the same frequency that the human brain works at. Brain waves really are, in part, radio waves. The brain can be influenced by external signals.
Mind control? That seems a little far out. But weather manipulation is all too plausible. Jesse drives off to begin the investigation. And he can't shake off thoughts of recent events like the Indonesian tsunami and Hurricane Katrina. Back at his war room, the governor meets with his elite team of investigators, researchers, and operatives, all of them itching to get on the case.
All right, people, I want no excuses. What have you come up with?
Well, we've got physicists that says that HARP can do everything that Jerry Smith told you it can do.
And how exactly is he going to do that? Start a hurricane?
Yeah, quite literally. He has a device that shows that you can actually move clouds, and he's going to do this experiment for me.
That's interesting. Where do we go from here, people?
This photo was actually taken just before the big tsunami hit the coast of Indonesia. And what we're seeing is the Aurora Borealis, or the Northern Lights. They occur anytime there's any sort of electromagnetic occurrence in the ionosphere. And they say that when they turn HARP on, the colors get really wild up there.
And the other thing that's interesting before the tsunami was that there were no pre-tremors or any warning. It just happened.
How often are the Northern Lights spotted in Indonesia?
Why would we want to cause a tsunami and kill thousands of Indonesian people?
Yeah.
Alex, maybe they didn't want to. Maybe they were just experimenting with the thing. They put it up too high and this was the end results. What do you think they're going to do after it happens? Then come out and say, whoops, we made a mistake and fess up to it?
I mean, think about it. They're testing a whole new technology, right?
So yeah, here they're testing this thing. Every time they come up with something new, they got to check it out. And if there's collateral damage from it, that's what they look at. Oh, well, it works. So there was a little collateral damage in it. At least now we know it works.
Coming up, the investigation moves to Alaska. And the conspiracy theory is put to the test.
Why is there so much military investment?
Well, as the military was involved because there was a... Let me back up.
Then, a simple demonstration shows how HARP can control and change the weather.
We're using about 100 watts in this little cloud chamber. HARP uses a billion watts.
And later, a tense confrontation. Jesse Ventura at the gates to what could be the deadliest weapon in the world.
Come on, man. I'm a Navy SEAL. The military don't do things unless it has a military purpose, and a military purpose is destruction and waging war.
But first, in his own words, here's an inside look at Jesse Ventura, brought to you by Geico.
I really went into life not knowing what I was going to do. I joined the Navy at age 18 and went through BUDS, basic underwater demolition SEAL training, and did all the death-defying stuff that the Navy SEAL does today. Wrestling kind of reared its head in the fact that I had a great interest in theater at college. Theater and physical sports. It's ballet with violence. I got the good fortune of being able to name myself. When you go into the world of pro wrestling, and especially as a villain, it's not always good to use your real name. And I always loved the name Jesse. Pulled out a map of California, and I started matching Jesse up, and when I read Jesse Ventura, the light went off. Being governor, I think the most remarkable thing that it did to me is it restored my faith that there's still a sliver of the American dream left. No other governor can match what I did.
Keep watching Jesse Ventura as Conspiracy Theory continues. Jesse Ventura has been tipped that the U.S. military's ionosphere research project in Alaska is not what it seems. Officially, the giant complex of antennas outside the village of Gakona is conducting communication studies. But a growing conspiracy theory says HAARP is actually a weapon with the ability to shoot down aircraft, manipulate nature, and control your mind. The investigation is underway. Alex Piper is touched down in Fairbanks, Alaska. He's here to meet with one of the heads of HAARP research. Meanwhile, the governor's advisor, Michael Braverman, is at Stanford University with two HAARP researchers. Doctors Morris Cohen and Mark Galkowski have done extensive experimentation at HAARP.
The HAARP facility is a unique facility for basic research.
It's really about understanding a portion of the atmosphere that right now we know very little about.
We really hope to understand more about this upper atmospheric region and understand some of the basic just physical processes that go on there.
Alex is not finding the same cooperation in Fairbanks.
Hey, Governor, it's Alex. Yeah, so I spoke to the professor. He claims it's strictly there for experiments, research purposes only, that it can't change the weather, it's not a weapon. Problem is, as soon as he saw where I was going with my questions, he refused to be on camera. Yeah, make of it what you will.
As Alex awaits instructions in Alaska, a visitor arrives at the team's office. Brooks Agnew is a scientist, engineer, and doctor of physics. He spent years studying Arctic weather patterns. He's about to demonstrate the awesome power of this so-called research project. He'll show how HAARP's ELF radio waves can actually push around rain clouds in the sky, and in the process, change the weather.
Well, this is a basic cloud chamber. I'm going to make a cloud inside of it, stabilize it, make sure it's all nice and still, and then we're going to move it using HAARP impulses.
Weather manipulation, the ability to control the weather in specific areas. Is it possible?
It is even remotely possible.
The HAARP researchers may not be as candid as they appear. They deny HAARP can control the weather. But Dr. Agnew shows investigator Jun Sarpong just how easy the process can be.
When I turn the pulses on, this cloud should move from bottom to top.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can really see it.
It's almost like there's a wind inside the chamber.
So if this was the sky, you would see rapid movement in the sky.
Right. And this is just a fraction of the power that's used in HAARP. We're using about 100 watts in this little cloud chamber. HAARP uses 1 billion watts. So we push a couple of cubic feet of cloud vapor in a few seconds. With 1 billion watts, you could easily move a cloud wherever you wanted to move it using HAARP.
Could HAARP be used as an electronic weapon?
Certainly not.
Is there an example where HAARP has actually been used in warfare?
Yes. In the first Iraq war, there's evidence that HAARP was used to irradiate the battlefield prior to the invasion from Kuwait. When the tanks rolled into the area, the troops piled out of the bunkers, not willing to give a fight. They gave up in mass. These were the Iraqi troops.
And what exactly did HAARP do to them?
It can prevent you from sleeping. It creates anxiety. It can even upset your bowels, how they work. And if it's played just right, HAARP can be tuned to a point where it makes the recipient so paranoid, they begin to have visions like nightmares.
So HAARP is purely a research facility?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So then what is the military doing there? Why is there so much military investment?
Well, as the military was involved because there was a... Let me back up and say the location of HAARP was actually picked because that property was actually belonged to the U.S. Air Force, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so that site was actually suitable location for that, and I believe that's one of the reasons for the military's involvement in this, you know, the HAARP program.
I'm not allowed to know, but it's, you know, it is what it is.
It's clear the researchers want to avoid discussing the military uses of HAARP. Their hesitations caused the team to wonder.
So what are the real dangers of Hubble?
Picture a ground wire, like a long extension cord being stretched from the Earth up to the ionosphere, creating an ion path. If the power that's in the ionosphere discharged back down to the ground, it would be a lightning bolt of devastating proportions.
What would that mean exactly?
Picture 50 Mount St. Helens volcanoes going off every second for a minute.
So the effects could be catastrophic.
Absolutely.
So in your expert opinion, do you think that this is a machine that actually should be stopped because it's just too dangerous?
I think the machine should be shut off. It's too risky to use.
Well, people, I talked to Alex, and he was up in Alaska and talked to this person up there, and apparently it's a train to nowhere. He says it's not a big story.
No way, Governor. Agnew was convinced that there's more to this. We have to investigate further.
Then who else do we go see? We got to find someone else then.
Well, I've got someone else for us to speak to. His name's Nick Begich. He's also up in Alaska. Now, he's written a lot about HAARP, and he's probably one of the most informed people out there. There's only one problem.
And that is?
He'll let me speak to you.
Why just me?
His brother's a senator, and he trusts you.
His brother's a U.S. senator?
Yeah.
Might get a hold of Alex and tell him we're on our way. I guess we're coming to Alaska.
Coming up, Jesse Ventura approaches the super weapon from the sky.
There it is. Wow.
Then, an explosive confrontation.
When I get denied something, I do the opposite of getting intimidated. I get angry.
And later, Jesse goes all in and gets a hard hit of HAARP's mind-bending power.
Wow.
Jesse Ventura is in Alaska to investigate the mysterious military facility known as HAARP. The governor's conspiracy team has found evidence that HAARP's complex of massive transmitters is a trigger for a super weapon that heats up the ionosphere, tampering with nature. What experts call a formula for global terrorism.
We've heard from enough experts. Now it's time to see for ourselves.
Jesse Ventura lifts off from Anchorage and points the way toward a remote region of southeastern Alaska. They're headed to HAARP. They fly across miles of untouched wilderness, deeper and deeper into the middle of nowhere. And then, just over the ridge, it comes into view.
There it is. Wow. I hear it's live today.
You mean this thing is on right now?
Yeah, it's on right now, and they're going to shut it off here when we get within a mile.
I hope they shut it off.
Towers spread out over 35 acres. This is HAARP.
Think there's anything shady going on down there?
It could be. The one thing is that even the people who work here don't really know a lot about it. The right hand doesn't seem to know what the left hand is doing.
Well, that's very common in government, compartmentalization.
Yep.
These are the antennas that blast a beam 12 miles wide that spreads across the ionosphere, heats it up, and turns the atmospheric layer into the biggest antenna of all.
Governor, it doesn't look that scary from up here.
Yeah, well, a lot of things may not look scary, but when you can't see what it does anyway, that gives off radio frequencies, you know, how do you see that? It could be very scary.
I think we better ask to see this thing up close.
Yeah, I think we should ask.
The governor orders the chopper down at Harp's front door.
Now, you did formally call them to see if we could get a tour of this place?
Absolutely.
And what was the result?
They turned us down. We tried three different times.
Three times. You called here to see if we could get a tour of this place, and they turned us flat.
We called this facility. We called the Air Force directly. Every time, no.
Stonewall.
They're now at the gates of Harp.
Well, let's see if there's another way we can get in here. Looks like a call box right here. They're up there. They know we're here. It's simply they're not going to respond. Look at it. Now it don't even buzz. They've shut it down.
Jesse Ventura is happy to wait them out. Finally, the ones inside give in. The Harp representative is dressed like a civilian. He introduces himself as a manager. He says he does not want his face shown on camera. And he delivers the message. Jesse Ventura is not welcome at Harp.
If you as an individual were sitting down at the Gacona Lodge having a beer and you said, hey, you know, I'm in around fishing or whatever and I just want to catch some salmon, and you were asking questions about Harp, there would be no problem with me saying, Jesse, let's go for a tour of the facility. However, being associated with the media, that's a different set of rules.
So you're telling me if I got rid of the cameras, you'd take me inside?
I'm saying there's no chance that would happen.
The man suggests the governor come back on the official visiting day.
We went through the proper channels.
Yeah, we went through it.
But they told you what? To come back during an open house.
It's once every 2 years.
Which is once every 2 years is how things work out.
2 years? Those are close to fighting words.
You really need to go through the Air Force.
Well, we did. We got stonewalled.
Yeah.
And this is strictly a research facility. Clearly, there's something going on here that they don't want people to know about.
There's a lot of cool science that we do with this facility.
Come on, man. I'm a Navy SEAL. The military don't do things unless it has a military purpose, and a military purpose is destruction and waging war.
It's a stalemate. Or is it?
Back up a little bit from the gates so we can come through and get intimidated.
When I get denied something, I do the opposite of getting intimidated. I get angry.
Jesse is about to walk right on through when suddenly...
Hold on a second, guys. I got a problem here.
What's in our office interference?
The camera equipment begins to go haywire. Something is interfering with the audio and video.
This is more than unclassified. That's...
Coming up, Jesse finds new mysteries and new conspiracy theories from Harp's neighbors.
He said, we fired that damn thing up there and we fried a guy.
Then, he finds out that Harp mind control is not as far-fetched as it seems.
Crank it up. I want to try it.
I've been exposed to secrets at the highest level. I've heard things that'll blow your mind. And now I'm ready to talk.
The Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura. All new every Wednesday at 10. Only on True TV.
Jesse Ventura and his team made it as far as the front gates of the Harp complex in the Alaskan wilderness.
Back up a little bit from the gates so we can come through and feel intimidated.
When I get denied something, I do the opposite of getting intimidated. I get angry.
The standoff was reaching a boiling point when some unknown force played havoc with their crew's video and audio gear.
Hold on a second, guys. I got a problem here.
What's our office interference?
This is more than unclassified. That's...
Jesse refused to give up, but the fight was futile.
I'll tell you.
The more I learn about HAARP, the more knowledge I gain about it, the more sinister this place seems to be getting. It's not going the other way. It's going that way. Towards sinister, not against it. The other thing that bugs me about this, you notice there were double security gates there, not one but two. And it's out in the middle of nowhere, Alaska. And it's an unclassified research facility, and it has that type of security, huh? That's interesting.
While the governor, Braverman, and Alex plan their next move, another member of the team has come up with a major find in another corner of the country. June is in Texas, chasing the intriguing story of HAARP's inventor, a man who became a leading critic of the HAARP project. Bernard Eastland died 2 years ago, but his son Robert is alive and talking.
Back in about 1983, my father was working on a number of ideas, including the use of the gas to create a missile shield for the United States in case of Soviet attacks.
And so when your father first designed it, it was really in terms of defense, am I right?
It was at the height of the Cold War, right. 1983, 1984, Ronald Reagan in the White House. The project my father was working on was everything from communications with submarines to ground-penetrating radar, over-the-horizon radar, knocking out satellite communications, a missile defense shield, and then there's everyone's favorite, weather control. The idea was by heating up the atmosphere, you could move the jet stream, bringing rain to places or taking rain away from places that were possibly receiving too much rain.
Robert says his father never intended for HAARP to be used as an offensive weapon.
It would have been for good. You have Ethiopia, no rain. Let's bring rain to Ethiopia. You have too much rain flooding in one place. Let's perturb the jet stream and see if we can halt whatever weather cycle is occurring.
He was very proud of his invention.
He was very proud.
But then the military saw the potential and bought up the plans.
Your father did feel that the military were maybe going too far, which is why he left.
Well, no. So here he is. He's trying to come up with something to defend the United States and better mankind. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, well, maybe now we have a weapon, basically a weapon that can be used.
Back in Alaska, Jesse Ventura heads into the wilderness to seek out the people who live in HAARP's shadow. First stop is the village of Glen Allen. HAARP helps fund its community college, but even here, 30 miles away, no one's really sure what goes on at HAARP.
Could this be a weapon of some sort?
Well, I've certainly heard some of that as well. Of course, if it's military, it's got military applications. I have no doubt about that. It's funded. It's a big project. It's cost a lot of money.
Do you think they're being totally forthcoming with you?
Meaning the scientists and the people that work up there,
well,
I do. The military application.
Yeah, the military application and HAARP in general. Do you think that they're being fully above board with the locals?
I think that it's a mystery.
Jesse moves on toward the village that's HAARP's closest neighbor. He's been warned that folks there don't like strangers, so he hired a private eye from Anchorage. She went on ahead for some advanced recon. The private eye does not want her face seen by anyone connected to HAARP. She says she fears harassment, or worse.
Thanks for meeting me here.
No problem.
What do you got for me?
There's definitely some things that are going on there in relation to HAARP.
Really? Tell me more.
You know, everybody was friendly and everybody was talkative until you brought up the topic of HAARP, and then their personality changed, their demeanor changed.
Really?
I've gone to villages all over the state of Alaska, and never has it been this eerie, I guess you could say.
Something we definitely need to look into then. Well, the PI gave us the list. Now let's hope people will talk to us.
Private investigators said they would.
Yeah, well, that can be a different story once cameras are on.
The governor and his advisor arrive in Gakona. Population, 215. People willing to talk about HAARP, zero.
I wish you're not being very successful, are we?
But persistence pays off.
Okay, I found some people. They're inside, and we'll talk about HAARP.
For real?
Yeah.
Handcuff them so they can't get away.
Let's go.
Perfect.
Jesse meets the one person who's bound to know everyone's business. She runs the coffee shop and trading post.
Now, you've been here since the beginning. What do you think they're doing down there?
They tell us we're doing research on HAARP. We're up here studying the Northern Lights. You don't study the Northern Lights for 25 years. Come on.
So you're very suspicious of this place?
Oh, of course. I mean, if it was studying the Northern Lights, they'd be very, very upfront. They'd be telling people all the time what they're doing, what they're finding. I, as an American, resent being treated. It's my money that's funding it.
You're damn right. I agree.
If it's defense, tell us it's for defense. Yeah. You know, be truthful with us. We're not stupid.
We've tried to talk to a lot of the people around here about HAARP, and they just clam up. They don't want to talk. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think people live out here because they're real private. And there was that rumor about mind control a few years ago. And I think people are real nervous and they don't. It's a big government entity. They don't want to cross them.
Everyone else in Gakona decides to stay behind closed doors while the strangers are in town. Everyone but one man.
My personal feeling, I think it's one of the most top secret strangers in the United States government.
Really?
Fred has lived in Gakona for more than 40 years. HAARP? He helped pave the way.
So you were here and you've watched this entire whole HAARP thing take place?
I worked on building the first road, worked on part of the building, and I was working on they were setting up a coal generator. And I plowed snow up there. I got a snow plow, did it. I plowed snow, I think, for 3 or 4 winters. When I first started plowing snow, they didn't have any security cameras or nothing. I'd go up there and I'd be the only guy on the plantation. But then as time went on, they got more security, and more stricter.
Why would they add more security if it was just the simple thing that they initially said they were doing?
I've always thought that facility had the capability of mind control. Have you ever heard of that mind control that the Russians use on their prisoners?
Yeah.
They set out a certain frequency to make people act the way they want. They can make them docile, or they make them
schizophrenic
or whatever.
Sure,
and that's
sure.
The mind control that I think they have the capability up there.
Really? Interesting.
And there used to be a restaurant cafe over here, a restaurant hotel over here, and I was sitting in there one morning having a cup of coffee, and there were 4 guys sitting at a booth over there, and I could hear them talking. They were talking about mind control. 3 of them got up and left, and the 4th guy came over there to get his coffee cup filled up, and he said, I'm not eavesdropping, but I couldn't help hear you guys talk about mind control. And he sat down there and told me, oh, yeah, I've been mind control. I've been in this field for 12 years. And he was out here and spent about a month up at HAARP. I think they try to brainwash the people. I don't know if they do it every year, but several times they've had these open houses. They let people go up there and they give them a cup of coffee and a cookie. And everybody that goes up and gets a coffee and cookie, oh, yeah, HAARP's okay. You know, I think that's all just a smoke thing. I'll tell you one other thing that happened. I was just down here at the local bar having a beer one night, and I think it was 10 or a dozen electricians come out there and was going to be there for 2 weeks. And that one guy came in, and I don't remember his name now, but I recognized him. Hey, man, what's going on? He said, we fired that damn thing up there, and we fried a guy.
What is fry a guy?
I mean, they turned the antenna on, a guy was underneath, and they killed him.
Still ahead. Jesse meets the man who knows more about HAARP than anyone in Alaska.
Dr. Begish, I presume.
Then he gets zapped with HAARP-style mind control.
Wow. It seemed like right here. here in the wilderlands of Alaska. We're going to meet a Dr. Begich, who seems to know a great deal about HAARP. He's kind of made it his life's ambition as a second career or whatever. And this guy is probably the biggest authority on HAARP that we're ever going to find. So we'll talk to Dr. Begich, find out what he knows.
Governor Ventura.
Dr. Begich, I presume.
Yes, indeed. Come on in.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Dr. Nick Begich is a prominent Alaskan, a well-respected author and activist, son of a U.S. congressman, brother of U.S. Senator Mark Begich. He's been studying and investigating HAARP for the past 15 years.
Now, I'm going to be honest. You know, up until about 2 weeks ago, I'd never even heard of HAARP. When I find it a bit disturbing. Let's get to the nitty-gritty on this. What type of offensive weapon does HAARP have the potential to be?
Let's kind of grade eight. What does it do? Because it does a lot of different things. Not only, you know, can they manipulate weather, but the idea of knocking aircraft out of the sky and leaving no residual damage. I mean, you could wage wars and nobody would ever know it. If you crank it high enough,
wait,
you can burn things.
So you're saying that if they crank this up, they could literally knock airplanes out of the air?
That's correct. And you could also use it to knock out a satellite. Now, think about that. You have plausible deniability. The satellite goes down. All your communications go down. Your ability to conduct commerce goes down. These are things that HAARP can do. And we're not alone anymore. Chinese are pursuing this technology. Russians are pursuing this technology. And others are pursuing this technology today.
We got possible weather manipulation through the whole world.
Right.
Now, could it cause hurricanes and earthquakes?
Well, that's very possible. Many scientists believe this.
What you're saying to me, like if we wanted to attack someone, we could actually, with HAARP, attack them with the weather?
Right. And there's actually a treaty that goes back to 1977 that the U.S. and the Soviets and 60 other countries signed, saying we wouldn't use what they called environmental manipulation, which was things like creating tidal wave, earthquake, weather modifications as weapons of war.
Then what you're saying to me, point blank, is we quite potentially could be violating the treaty?
Well, the rule is you can do whatever you want domestically. That's the way the treaty reads.
All that may be dangerous enough, but Nick Begich says he's most worried about HAARP's ability to interfere with your mind.
Yeah, obviously, they deny it.
Sure.
But what we produced was their own documents. You know, these are Air Force, Navy, military documents that actually lay this out. It's their own words, not our words.
You know, Doctor, what you're saying to me is scary. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you're talking about something that can be done with mind control to where you can affect people's minds and they don't even know it.
That's correct.
And this is masses of people.
Right.
They can do it at a level where you could be walking down the street and you could get infiltrated with these sound waves and you wouldn't even know that they were hitting you?
That's right. And there's two different ways. One would be transferring voice information, and the other would be just affecting you on an emotional level, which is much simpler, which is easily accomplished by HAARP. The human body and the mind is able to pick a signal out. Like going through the radio station, you're dialing through the station, you get all the static. As soon as you get resonance, harmony between the transmitter and receiver, you get a nice clear signal. The same is true in terms of the human chemistry, in terms of our chemistry, our cell structure, body organs, or the brain.
Jesse Ventura has his doubts that the HAARP antennas can broadcast radio waves that influence people's thoughts. But Nick Begich is prepared for the skeptics.
Now, this is a device that friends of mine in Germany designed, and we had demonstrated in the European Parliament in an open hearing a cruder version, but it made our point. This is a standard CD player, and what these are is piezoelectric transducers, and in simple language, they carry a signal that can enter the nervous system so that you can get that proverbial voice in the head. And so by activating this, placing these electrodes, you know, on the surface of the skin, blocking the ears tightly, you'll hear the music just as if your ears were playing it, but the ears have nothing to do with it. The eighth cranial nerve, the part that connects to the brain, has nothing to do with it. It's a different way.
Is that working right now?
Yeah, we can get it cranked up here.
Crank it up. I want to try it. So in other words, I can touch this to my neck and hear it without my ears hearing it, and no one else in the room will hear it.
That is correct. I want you to block your ears really tightly so you can't hear it.
Still ahead, HARP invades Jesse Ventura's brain. The incredible conclusion.
Wow.
While we're talking in front of the office, we hear, bah!
September the 11th. Do we really know the whole story?
There's residues of explosives in the desk.
Maybe not.
The FBI came to me and said, listen, I don't want you talking about any of this. You cut that for a minute. Just cut it off.
You won't believe what you don't know.
Shoot in right through that door. This is what they don't want me to see.
Conspiracy Theory. All new next Wednesday at 10. Only on True TV.
I want you to block your ears really tightly so you can't hear it.
Jesse Ventura was skeptical about claims that the HARP antennas in remote Alaska have the power to control people's minds, including yours and his. Now, Dr. Nick Begich is showing him how the HARP transmitter can send a signal directly to his brain.
Wow.
So what did you hear?
Well, I heard music, right. But it's strange because I listened to try to figure out where the music was coming from, and it seemed like right here.
Right.
It sounded like I was hearing right. It almost through the top of my head or my forehead.
Right. With HARP, when you start to look at this signal, not just transferring sound information, but just to affect the brain with emotional state changes, is so easily accomplished.
So we got mind control?
Absolutely. In fact, if you go back historically, back to the 1960s when all of this work really started, the idea of mind control experiments, one of the guys that the New York Times reported was one of those experimental subjects was a Unabomber. If you remember, he attacked people who were involved in technology. Now, was that the result of the experiment? Because the U.S. military admits over 8,000 servicemen alone were used in these experiments. The technology is relatively simple. You can get the components off the shelf. You just have to have the technical knowledge to understand how to dial it in. Just like dialing in that radio station we were talking a while back. In between, it's static, but when you get resonance between that transmitter and receiver, things start to happen. And in the earth, things start to happen. Where you already have something unstable, you can trigger that earthquake. Terrorists possess technologies that could create earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, modify weather.
Terrorists.
It's not just about weather modification. These guys can knock aircraft out of the sky. They can disable satellites, knock them literally into neutral where they can't even work. This is the kind of thing that you can wage war without even knowing the war has been waged. Covert war is not something that's new to this country, but with this technological twist, it throws a whole new flavor on all of it.
So in layman's terms, you're almost talking about an invisible death ray?
Actually, the guy who originated the death ray concept was a guy named Nikola Tesla. He's a guy that developed an AC current that runs all of our households today. But he had a concept on a death ray that was presented to the government just before World War II. Those papers are cited in Bernard Eastland's patents. This is the death ray.
Jesse Ventura and his team head home from Alaska. The things they saw, the people they met, the information they gathered, leave them convinced that HARP is much more than the government would have us believe.
I went into this investigation knowing full well that our military keeps secrets. But in the case of HARP, they're playing with fire. It's one thing to build a missile defense system. It's another to interfere with nature. We saw how easy it is to move clouds around, to trigger storms, floods, eco-terrorism. And I learned that radio waves really can get inside your head. They got inside mine. Bottom line, I went up to the gates of the HARP facility, and they wouldn't let me in. an operation that's run by the Navy doesn't shut out a former Navy SEAL unless they've got something to hide. I'm Jesse Ventura. This is Conspiracy Theory.